Season 1 of Soul Operator is based on gameplay of the solo TTRPG Welcome to the Habit Trails by A. Yoland and is distributed under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 4.0 international license. Like the game, this season will feature horror-typical themes as well as isolation, derealization, grief, and paranoia. For episode-specific trigger warnings, or to purchase the game for yourself, check out the description of the episode. Listener discretion is advised.
Episode 4, Ace of Cups.
Are you sure you should be using that?
Thank you so much for the vote of confidence, Nate. Really, I'm fine.
You're a terrible liar, you know that, right?
I'm serious, I'm fine! Look, it's been days, I haven't fainted again, and I remember something. This is a good thing. Why are you so worried?
Because you aren't fine, Tess. People don't pass out like that when they get something back. You scared the hell out of my brother and what? You think this is normal?
Nothing about any of this is normal. Just because it hasn't happened to anyone else doesn't mean...
It means something, though, doesn't it? I mean, Christ, have you thought about what happens if this happens again? What if something comes to you while you're out exploring? Don't think I don't know about that, Tess. Seriously, it's like you want to get yourself hurt or worse.
Don't do that.
Do what?
Talk to me like I'm a child, like I'm your responsibility. I'm not Dean. I can look after myself.
Look, that's not what I'm saying.
I am fine. Is the lecture over?
Fine, I can't force you to listen to me.
Yep.
And no matter what I'm saying, you're going to keep going out there anyway.
Definitely.
Look, Tess, just promise that you'll tell me before you go out again, yeah?
Will that make you feel better?
A bit. I'd feel better if you just... Look, never mind. Take a walkie with you.
Great. I promise I'll tell you. Now will you please just sit down and have some? Your pacing's making me anxious.
Would appreciate it if you tried to be a bit more subtle, too. The kids aren't stupid. If I've noticed, they have definitely noticed.
You say that like Connie would let Dean out of her sight.
That's what worries me. He follows you, she follows him. If anything were to happen...
Now, eat? Sandra wants us back out by the barricade until it's done. And if you keep pestering me, I'll tell her all about your little overnight stays out by the wall. You aren't the only one who notices things, Nathan.
Did we ever figure out what happened to that section Anisha was working on?
Would it be naive of me to say that the wind blew it over?
Well, I think she would be more offended that you think some wind would blow down her handiwork. Doubt she'd be able to stay mad at you for long, though.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway, she's busy helping Faria get settled, so she won't be hearing about that comment anytime soon.
Scout's honor.
You were not a Boy Scout.
How would you know? I don't even know.
Boy Scouts know how to clean a cut.
Oh, piss off, Tess. It was fine.
Piss off? Admit it. If it weren't for me, your finger would have fallen off because it got infected, and you would have died from the embarrassment.
Oh, sure. Yeah, just about as embarrassed as when your shirt got caught on the doorknob and you screamed bloody murder because you thought you were getting kidnapped. Oh, weird.
Hmm? What's up?
You're recording.
No, I'm not.
Well, look, but the tape recorder says otherwise.
Huh. I must have just left it on by accident. Turn it off, would you? Tape might not be an unlimited resource.
If only we were so lucky.
According to the chalk tally marks on the wall, I've been here for a month. 30 days. It feels like an eternity longer. That happens a lot, I think, when people are forced to be in close proximity with one another. They feel like they've known each other forever, when really it's only been a few days, weeks, months. Someone far more poetic than me might say that it's because we cling to a little connections we can foster, because it's those connections that make us human. We apply importance to them because it's better than being alone. I think it's a subconscious survival trait. Pack mentality. Humans are pack animals. They'll bond with pretty much anything, even if it's a silly, superficial thing. I just happen to have pack bonded with a bunch of dorks. So, last you heard of me, I was hitting the floor of my living room. I am fine, by the way, no matter what Nate says. Inside the box that Dean brought over was a bear trap. It was bigger than I would have imagined one to be. Dark and heavy with the weight of the force behind its teeth that are primed for the tearing of flesh and breaking of bone. That wasn't what got me, though. Beneath the trap was the true prize. Art supplies. Pretty much anything you could imagine. Paints, brushes, colored pencils, the whole lot. And a sketchbook. I was so drawn to the supplies, like there was a string puppeteering me to go on and pick it up like it was nothing. I suppose it should have been nothing. As soon as my fingertips touched the smooth face of the sketchbook, I was out. God, poor Dean. The way that my body went rigid, collapsing to the ground like I'd just been clocked to the back of the head, was enough to send him running back home to get his brother. It wasn't a seizure. At least, none of us think so. Maybe now that Dr. Faria is here, I'll have her check me out. Of course, that would mean I would need to tell Nisha what happened, and the last thing I need is someone else hovering around me like I might break at any second. Plus, I have a sneaking suspicion that she is the one who found the supplies for me in the first place. I don't want her to feel like she hurt me with something that was intended as a gift. Her knowing isn't worth the guilt that I know she would feel. I don't know why she didn't just sign the note, though. I wish she had so I could just thank her, but I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable because sometimes I feel like I just talk too much and she just kind of stands there and listens to me and I'm like, fuck, I'm talking too much, which only makes me talk more. Anyway, I remember an art studio. I'm sitting on a stool. I can't see who my model is, at least not in the flesh, but I see the shape of them in the charcoal on my canvas. The curvature of their posture, the shadows that cascade across their sharp features and their eyes. The dark, hollow eyes that seem to penetrate into my own in a way that makes me, recalling this memory, uneasy. There's a hunger there, and for a moment the highlights on their irises look like teeth. But I remember feeling enamored. My heartbeat wasn't fast, but it was at the front of my chest. Every beat like a ripple through the rest of my body. Is this who is with me at the beach? I don't know why I couldn't have just turned a bit to my right so I could properly see them. I've tried to capture their likeness in the sketchbook, but it never comes out right. It always just looks like someone else. You've probably figured out the exciting news I meant to share today. I'm not the newest addition to our little neighborhood anymore. I've been promoted to senior newbie. You might remember in the first tape I mentioned that the house to my right was empty. Well, no longer. Faria El-Amin showed up in the middle of the day yesterday. It caused quite the commotion. I still feel really bad about it. She just kind of ran out of the place with this look of anger and confusion as she was yelling in what I now know to be Arabic. Thank God for Anisha. She really helped calm her down, explain everything, you know, as best she could. Once she was more settled, I wanted to ask her so many questions. It's the first time I've known more about this place than anyone else. It was hard not to feel like I was somehow carrying this absurd wealth of knowledge. I wanted to know how she felt, what she could remember, who she thought she was, if she felt like me. I wanted to know if she was comforted by her faith that she displays so proudly. Most of the people here seem to have abandoned religion if they had it in the first place, besides Maria. I admire her, genuinely. And after the initial shock had worn off, scarily fast, she was happy to answer any of the questions I had. But to be honest, I barely knew what to ask or how to ask it. How do you ask someone? I don't know. Well, with Anisha's help, I asked her probably the hardest question I could think of. Who are you? Even though I couldn't understand her words, her eyes were filled with a certainty that I hadn't felt since I woke up, and my heart clenched in my chest in envy. I didn't show it on my face, I hope. And I patiently waited for Anisha to translate for me. The more she spoke, the more I seemed to really understand her.
She's saying, I think I was a surgeon. I remember pages upon pages of anatomical charts, labeled sketches and tools.
Cadavers drained of blood, their chests pulled apart, and their ribs torn open by crude machinery so that we might take a look inside. Scalpels. I believe I was a pediatric surgeon. Not that I necessarily remember studying or caring for children, but I'm sure you know that. I just know more. More than the average person would about medicine. I think that might be why I am here. In my short time, I have noticed patterns. Roles which the citizens of this neighborhood fall into with ease. Not necessarily in the way of jobs, no. More so characters in a story. You know, we have the leader, the follower, the innocent, the caregiver, the narrator, the doctor. I hope to go home one day, but I believe that all of us are here for a purpose. Serve Allah and join not any partners with Him, and do good to parents, kinsfolk, orphans, those in need, neighbors who are near and neighbors who are strangers, and the companion by your side, as well as the wayfarer ye meet, and what your right hand possesses. I don't know if this place was made by Allah. I have faith that my being here is His will, and my role will become clear with time. And once my work is done, I shall go home.
I didn't ask her what role she assigned to me, or if she even thought of me. I find her idea fascinating and horrifying, if I'm being honest. Are we all just entertainment for some entity that can throw whatever it wants at us when it gets bored? Why? What's the point? Is there nothing that could be more interesting than a bunch of strangers just trying to survive? Well, fuck that. I'm a person, and I'm not just gonna follow along with some higher being's plotline without kicking and screaming my way through it. I am going home. I'm finding the person who I was with on the beach. My muse. I'm going to live. To that effect, I've been exploring. Yep, that's right. I'm going beyond the barricade. I was right with my Theseus idea, by the way. Go me. I don't know why no one else has tried it before, or at least no one else has mentioned it. There was a bunch of spools of twine just hidden in the back of the inventory, so I took them. They were covered in dust, so clearly no one's going to miss them. I mean, Nate probably saw me taking them, because he's always in there, and I'm not that great of a liar as it turns out, but whatever, he said he wouldn't stop me as long as I kept the walkie-talkie on me. And if I told him, but what he doesn't know won't hurt him, right? I have been keeping the walkie-talkie on me, just not on our channel. I've been using a super sneaky secret channel with my partner in crime, Anisha Amin. We tie the loose end of the twine to me, and she guards the spool. At first, it was just a proof of concept, sneaking through the gap in the fence that she made. For me. Sorry, Nate. She marks how far I go each time on the twine, and I try to figure out what I can. It's pretty safe. Having a physical tie to a certain place seems to mess with the force that changes the neighborhood around somehow, so I haven't run into anyone yet. Not scavengers or raiders or other communities. It's like a limbo within a limbo. I don't mind it, though. There's so many supplies. If we can get a system going, it could really change our place here. Give us the upper hand that we need to focus on getting out and not just surviving. This place is the heart, and we can forge veins and capillaries out of roads, expand further out into the body of this place without fear. Safety. That would be nice. I haven't brought this up to Sandra yet. I will. Once I'm sure, I'll ask her for forgiveness instead of permission. My vision is so clear. The solution has to be close. I can feel it. The light's fading. You'll be happy to know that I'm bringing you with me this time, you. Can't keep all the fun to myself, can I? See you in a bit.
This episode featured Tatiana Gefter as Tessa Whitlock, Mike LeBeau as Nathan Sutter, Adi Nofal as Anisha Amin, and Dahlia Ramahi as Faria El-Amin, with music and editing by Jay Stroutman. For more information regarding our show, please follow our social medias at Soul Operator Pod.
Knave of Cups is an online shop dedicated to supporting inclusion and creativity in the tabletop role-playing community. They carry a variety of cards, puzzles, and role-playing games from independent artists and creators around the globe, including Welcome to the Habit Trails. Use promo code SOUL to take $5 off your next order of $25 or more on www.knaveofcups.com.
A special thank you to our patrons, Tay-Tay Hey-Hey, Probs Not Hawkeye, Lumi, Starlight, Sirius, Claire K, Sean Pell, and Rumai Salil. You all help keep the show affordable to produce, and we couldn't be more thankful for your support. To join them and to hear your own name at the end of an episode, check out our $5 and up tiers on our Patreon at www.patreon.com/soulOperatorPod.com.